Okay, the very first mitzvah Klal Yisrael was commanded on as a nation is recorded in this week's Parsha, in Parsha's Bo, and that is the imperative to establish the Jewish calendar by HaChodesh Zalachem, Rosh Chadashim, to declare a new month. Rashi, at the very beginning of Bereishis, as we all know, quotes from Rabbeinu Yitzchak. Who is Rabbeinu Yitzchak, by the way? Anyone know? So they're not sure. They think this might be his father. This might be the only place in all of Rashi's writings that he quotes his father. He figured he'd throw him a bone at the beginning, and you know, because apparently his father was not the greatest Talmud Chacham, but he was, you know, so his father asked the question, why did they start the Torah with what they started? Ah, gevaldige question. So he started the Chumash with that question, because we don't have any record of such a medrash like this, that someone asked the question. But anyway, Rashi quotes from Rabbeinu Yitzchak that highlights the centrality of the mitzvah of Achodesh Zalachem by saying that maybe it should have been the first mitzvah to start the Torah with. It should have been the beginning of the Torah. And Rashi says that the reason the Torah didn't begin that way was only because we had to establish our rights to Eretz Yisrael. But the fact that whoever it was, whether it be Chazal, whether it be Rashi's father, whether it be Rashi, whoever it was, thought that this is an appropriate thing to start the Torah with, that obviously tells us something about this mitzvah. That this mitzvah, in some way, sets the tone for all other mitzvahs. By virtue of the fact that it was the first mitzvah given to us as a nation, and by virtue of the fact that there are those who believe it would have been an appropriate way to begin the entire Torah, in some way, apparently, it sets the tone for other mitzvahs. Question is, what is it about this mitzvah that is so fundamental to all other mitzvahs? Second, right after the mitzvah of HaChodesh Zalachem, the Torah tells us all of the details of the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. So again, we don't darshan smuchin, but still there is some connection, there must be some connection between the way, between these two mitzvahs, the mitzvah of HaChodesh Zalachem and the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. What might that connection be, other than their proximity to each other in the time that we were commanded in them? And third, finally, if you read through the psukim that describe the Korban Pesach, you'll notice a word that keeps coming up a lot. Pasuk says, "Se lebeis avos, se labayis, vim yimayit habayis mi yos misev lakachu shcheino hakarov le beiso, v'lachom en adam v'nasal al shem zuzas v'al mashkof al ha batim, v'hay adam l'chol lachem laos al ha batim." I'm not reading direct pasuk. I'm not reading straight. Obviously, these are pasukim that are spread out a little bit. Lo seisu ish mi pesach. No, what's the word? Beso adaboker. V'loyitein amashkes lavo el batechem lingov ve'es batenu hitzil. A lot of times, I don't know, I wasn't counting, something like 10-12 times, the word bias keeps coming up. Why so much emphasis on bias, especially since a lot of those times you could replace it for just me, don't hurt me. Why is it the bias? Emphasis on the bias a lot when it comes to Korban Pesach. So there is a medrash that explains the phrase Goy Mikerev Goy as follows. Klal Yisrael was taken out of Mitzrayim, we were a Goy Mikerev Goy. The medrash says as follows. Mahu Goy Mikerev Goy? What is Goy Mikerev Goy? Ka'adam shu shomet asu ubar mimei behema. Just like a person who would try to rip out a fetus from inside an animal. Kach hotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu es Yisrael mimitzrayim. So to Hashem took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Kin yishnemar v'akerev v'akra'ayim. Amri Abba, Rabbi Avin, Rabbi Simon, Mau Mikerev Goy, Shoyu Muvlon B'toch Me'ehem. It's as if we were totally absorbed inside the womb, so to speak, of Mitzrayim. V'am Mikerev Goy Ein Ksivkan, El Goy Mikerev Goy. Note, it doesn't say we were an Am brought Mikerev Goy, we were a Goy Mikerev Goy. Milamed, Shoyu Elu Arelim, V'elu Arelim. Elu megadle belorios ve'elu megadle belorios. That these were arelim and those were arelim. Klal Yisrael is arelim just like the Mitzrim were arelim. We didn't have a bris milah just like they didn't have a bris milah. We were megadle belorios. That was the symbol of the non-Jewish haircut that they would have. The chup, some say it is. Others say it's a long hair in the back. They say when the Satmar Rebbe first came to America, they invited him to speak in Yeshiva's Torah Vadas, and his first speech was, everyone should chop off their chups. You look like a bunch of goyim. It used to be that they would say that they would have to throw at any Talmud who's not Tocho Kabaro. Everyone here, you're B'nai Torah, but you're not Baro Kitocho. So and that was the Musa that he gave. And everyone went over to me after and said, but Rebbe, the Rosh Yeshiva look that way. They dress in modern clothing. I don't care. He didn't really care about being politically correct so much. But anyway, that was the symbol. Megadle Beloris is the symbol of what a Goy looks like. That a Goy is Megadle Beloris. So these are Megadle Beloris and those are Megadle Beloris. A fetus that's not ready to come out, it's a very dangerous thing to rip a fetus out when it's not ready to come out. A doctor or midwife could tell you that once it's ready to come out, so labor pains start, it has to make the first move. And once it shows that it's no longer comfortable in the environment of the womb and that it's ready to leave, then you could take it out. If you try to tear the baby out before it's ready, either the mother or the baby will die. Something is not going to work out well. I mean, nowadays, thank God, with modern medicine, they're able to do it. But in general, if you actually try to just pull the baby out, not talking about a cesarean section, you pull the baby out derech, in derech leida, when the baby's not ready to come, it's going to be disastrous. It could be deathly. Klal Yisrael was in a position where we were completely indistinguishable from the Mitzrim in belief, halalu of the avodah zarah, and in our physical appearance, halalu megadle beloris. In order for them to be ready to leave, they had to do something to show that labor has begun, that they're making the first move, that something's about to happen. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a plan, the mitzvah of Karban Pesach. They have to take the Egyptian gods, slaughter them, internalize the idea that these are animals, these aren't gods, these are not objects of worship, these are objects with which to worship. And they have to take the blood of that animal, put it on their doorposts in a way of showing this is a Jewish home and this is a non-Jewish home. We are different. We are unique. We are not the same as the Egyptians. All interaction with Egyptian society had to be suspended. All interaction for the course of the night. Va'atem lo teitzu ish mi pesach beso ad boker. No one leaves the house until the morning. Why? You don't see an Egyptian. You don't talk to an Egyptian. There's no interaction with Egyptian culture through the course of our night, of the night. And in that way, since we were so connected, by going to the other extreme, like the Rambam described, just going to the other extreme and completely separating ourselves, putting ourselves completely in a different parsha than the Egyptian society in our physical bodies, through Mila, is one of the ways that we do it nowadays. Just like our beliefs are different, our physical bodies are supposed to be different, our nourishment is supposed to be different. Kol ben necha lo yochal bo, an arel is not allowed to eat from a Karban Pesach. Everything has to be different in order for Karban Pesach to work. And that's what Karban Pesach was meant to accomplish. And that's why the word bias is so emphasized when describing Karban Pesach. The purpose of the mitzvah was to create a situation where a Jewish bias is readily distinguishable from a non-Jewish bias, where a Jewish home looks different than a non-Jewish home. How many Baalei Tshuva that you speak to describe the first time they went to a rabbi's house for a Shabbos meal, and what's the first thing they noticed? So many books. All these books. Do you read all these books? Where's the TV? Where's the entertainment center? It just looks different. It has a completely different feel. A Jewish bias is distinguishable from the non-Jewish home. It has to be apparent from the outside and certainly from the inside that we live in a different way. And perhaps that's the meaning of Kiddush HaChodesh. The Jews count the calendar based on a lunar cycle, not a solar cycle. Rav Yosef Salant and Bar Yosef explained so beautifully. He says, the Jews' chelek is Olam Haba, not Olam Hazeh. Our experience, our ability to experience good things, light in Olam Hazeh, in this world, has to be derived from the Umas HaOlam. Because the Umas HaOlam have Olam Hazeh. Our chelek is Olam Haba. Where does the moon get its light from? It has to be derived from the sun. The Umas HaOlam count by the sun. We're nogea to the moon. So yeah, we could have light, but it has to come from them. There's something very interesting, though, about how the moon reflects the light of the sun. The closer the moon gets to the sun, the less light it's able to reflect from the sun. The further away it moves from the sun, the more it's able to reflect. And Rav Yosef Salant suggests that if we want to experience success in this world, the moon teaches us how to maintain a certain healthy distance. Not that we should ignore what it's giving us, but that there has to be a healthy distance. If we get too close, we're no longer going to be able to reflect that light. The closer we get, the darker it's going to get. And perhaps that's the connection between Kiddush HaChodesh and Karban Pesach. Both of them teach the idea that we have to be independent and distinct from the nations of the world to experience our own success. And perhaps that's why the Torah should have started, or could have started, with HaChodesh Zalachem. Because everything that we do falls within the context of time. Our system of counting time sets the tone for all mitzvahs, because it's what sets us apart from everybody else. The Rama writes in Hilchos Pesach, in Siman Taf Pei, that we have a minhag to open the door at the end of the Seder night. And it's a way of indicating that we feel safe. It's lel shimurim, nothing could happen to us, we're protected. So the kasha is asked, why do we open the door at the end of the Seder night? Why don't we open the door at the beginning of the Seder night? It's lel shimurim. The whole night we should be protected. So if I recall, I think Rav Yosef Salon says this as well, that you could suggest that the opening of the door symbolizes our interaction with what's going on with the outside world. That we're expressing that we're confident. We could be protected from the influences of the outside world, from the negative external influences, even though it's right outside of our open door. It's right there in the street in front of us. But it wouldn't be confidence, it would be hubris, it would be misplaced confidence if we didn't first spend a long Seder night engaged in the Gadta Levincha, engaged in a form of Talmud Torah, with the door closed, amongst ourselves, developing our emunah, developing our sense of what Klal Yisrael is. Once we've already sheltered ourselves and our children from all that's going on outside, and we've developed a true sense, a real sense of authentic Judaism, without any of those influences, then we can open up the door with a little bit of confidence and say, you know what, maybe we can reflect a little bit of that light. Maybe we can take in some of that which they have to offer us, some of which the Ummah Salam have to offer us, and still maintain our system of belief, our system of actions, what we're able to accomplish. So being that this is the last Dvar Torah we have before Bein HaZmanim, so I guess it's appropriate to say that, you know, Bein HaZmanim is a time where we're sort of not in the Dalet Kosle Beis HaMedrash anymore. The success with which we approach Bein HaZmanim is directly related to the success that we had in the Dalet Kosle Beis HaMedrash through the course of the Zman. The more that we were able to focus while in here, away from everything else, and in the, I would say, the real world, the alternate real world of a yeshiva, which is different than the real world out there, the level of success we had in imbibing all that the Torah has to give us is going to prepare us, obviously, in the long run when we have to leave the Dalet Kosle Beis HaMedrash on a more regular basis, but even in the short run when we have to leave the Dalet Kosle Beis HaMedrash to have the strength to be able to remember what a Jew does, how a Jew davens, how a Jew learns, how much Torah plays a role in a Jew's life each and every day of their lives, how much the way we act is supposed to be a reflection of the Torah. That all comes from all the preparation that we put in advance with the doors closed within the Dalet Kosle Beis HaMedrash.